So morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing okay, hanging in there this week, and thanks for joining us on this morning. So today is going to be the third shiur, which it's going to be a shorter shiur, hoping to cut it to a half an hour. It's on, again, on the topic of whether or when a shomer accepts liability for watching something. What do I need to do in order to be liable for someone's object for not watching it appropriately? So the first 2 weeks, we essentially dealt with the question of, does a shomer require a kinyan, an act of acquisition, to be liable, or no? Simply by accepting responsibility verbally, it's sufficient. I just want to ask before I go on, do people have the source sheet? Would it be helpful for me to share my screen? Okay, I'm not going to share it for now. And if someone wants me to, they can let me know. Okay, so I just wanted to, the first part of the source sheet, if you have it, it says guarding a proof of debt, is just one last point in regard to this question of whether a shomer needs a kinyan. I think it sort of hammers the point home and it solidifies the question. So what we've been noting is that even according to those shitos that require a kinyan on the object you're watching, meaning pulling it or picking it up in some sort of way, it's not clear exactly what the role of that kinyan is. After all, a shomer isn't really acquiring the object. He's simply, or she is simply, for that matter, accepting responsibility. And I think one question that sort of highlights this issue is that of watching a proof of debt, a shtar chov. So, for example, say you are a lender and you lent someone $1 million. Now, I have a thing on the chat. He or she, I heard that. Okay. So, say you are a lender. I think that was supposed to be private. But say you are a lender and you lend someone $1 million. So, and you want someone to watch your contract. And you give it to a shomer to watch that contract, saying so-and-so owes you $1 million. So just taking a step back for a second, very briefly, if we were to evaluate that shtart in terms of how much it's worth, there are a number of ways of doing that. Meaning one is to say, well, it's $1 million because this shtart is allowing you to collect from his assets to get $1 million. On the other hand, no one would pay $1 million for this contract. There's no guarantee you're going to get the full $1 million from the borrower. And so this raises a point as to how much would a shomer be liable for? Well, the answer is at first glance, nothing, because there's a Gemara in Bava Kama, which states that there is no such thing as shmira on a contract, that you're not liable for watching a contract. We just don't have that idea. However, the Ktzos HaChoshen in source number one, is bothered by this for the following reason. The Gemara there brings a pasuk, a verse from the Torah to teach you that there's no such thing as liability for watching a contract. And the Ktzos says, I don't understand why a pasuk was necessary. Why did you need a verse? And his reason is as follows. The only way, according to the Ktzos and according to the Shulchan Aruch, to accept liability for any object is to do a kinyan, to do an acquisition on that object. And the Ktzos says, how would you go about acquiring a contract? Well, you can acquire, you know, an animal or an inanimate object, like a barrel or something like that, by picking it up or dragging it. But we know from other contexts that you don't acquire a contract in that way. If I wanted to sell someone my debt, if I wanted someone else to be able to collect the debt, simply giving over the contract isn't sufficient. You need to write to the person you're selling it to that I hereby am allowing you to acquire this contract. The whole contract and all the different entitlements are now yours. Now, ask the Ktzos HaChoshen, how would you do that for a shomer? You can't tell the shomer, I am allowing you all the entitlements of this contract. You're not making him the person who can collect this debt. If so, There's just no way you could ever have Shmira on a contract. So number one, why does the Gemara need a pasuk to teach you that you aren't a guardian on a contract? You're not liable. It's just obvious. There's no way, if you think you need a kinyan on a star, that you could be liable. Number two, it's more than that, because the Rambam, as we've actually mentioned in the shiur about the Rambam states that you are liable for a contract if you're negligent while watching it. Meaning, although if it's stolen and you weren't negligent or it's lost, you're not liable for Geneva Va'aveda, but you are liable for Pshia. You're liable for negligence. Says the Ksos, I don't understand. Right? If the Rambam thinks you require a kinyan to be a shomer, how could you have a kinyan on a star? It just doesn't work. You're not writing to the shomer. You have acquired the star and all its entitlements. So that's the question of the Ksos. Is it clear? Before I go on? Yes? No? Okay. Natanel's nodding his head. And Shtika Ko Da. Okay. Shtika Ko. And now we have an actual Da. We'll get to Shtika Ko Da later. Beautiful. So how do we deal with this? The Ksos doesn't know. He doesn't understand. And he leaves B'tzarachi in. If you look at source number two, the Nesivos find a loophole in the laws of Staros. And he says, look, it's true that you can't become entitled to collect the debt simply by giving or collecting, picking up the contract. That's not sufficient. You need to write that the person's entitled to the contract. However, if you want to simply sell it as a proof, meaning, a contract is, number one, a shtar kinyan, in that it entitles the person who has it to collect the debt. It also serves as a valuable way of proving that someone owes you money. Right? By having the shtar, I can prove that you owe me money. And therefore, says the Nesivos, in order to sell a shtar as a raya, as a proof, to either a malveh, right? I wrote a shtar for someone, and now I'm selling it to them. Or to a loveh, for that, simply giving over the shtar works. Therefore, says Nesivos, you're right. The kinyan, in terms of being liable for the whole value of the shtar, again, the contract's $1 million, the shomer can't be liable for the entire value, because he's not entitled to it. There's no way of being makne that. But in terms of whatever you would sell the contract for on the marketplace, if I were buying a shtar, just to use it as a proof, for that, says the Nesivos, you can simply give over the contract. Therefore, when the owner gives the contract to the shomer, that shows that he's liable for the market value of the contract. However, I think what's maybe even I find more compelling, and I think really illustrates the point of this conversation, is the point of the Chachma Shlomo in Source 3. What the Chachma Shlomo says is that the Ksos is sort of playing up the nature of this acquisition in Shmira. The Ksos is looking at the kinyan of a shomer as if it was a regular kinyan. And we saw, like, in the last year, the Ksos does that. He really plays up how what you're doing when you're kona as a shomer, that you're sort of, you know, obligating yourself to this object. It's a kinyan hischayev, is his terminology. And the Chacham Shlomo says that's not accurate, that with the point of a kinyan is to demonstrate that whatever it is you're trying to be kona. So for instance, when you acquire an object as an owner, when you pick up that object, you're demonstrating that you own it. Horas bailus, right? The fact that I am now picking up and carrying this object proves that I must own it. Says the Chachma Shlomo, that's in regard to owning it. However, if we're talking about simply watching an object, the kinyan does not need to demonstrate that I own it, because I don't own it. All the kinyan needs to do is demonstrate that I have now accepted responsibility for the object. Therefore, says the Chachma Shlomo, you're right. You cannot be kone the debt of the contract. You can't be kone the $1 million liability. However, you can be kone the paper, and that's all you're watching. All you're watching as a guardian is the paper, right? Yes, it's true, if you lose the paper, you might lose collectability of the debt, but all you're accepting responsibility for is the paper itself. And by lifting up the paper and accepting responsibility upon the debt itself, that does prove that you are a shomer on that object, and therefore we don't require for a shomer to this idea of ksiva mesira. You don't need to write to the shomer entitling you to collect from this star, because you're not. All the shomer is doing is showing that he's watching the object. So again, I think these two, this discussion highlights different perspectives on what the nature of the kinyan is. Okay, but to move on. So the next thing I wanted to discuss briefly with you today for the next 20 minutes, and we'll move a bit quickly, is the question of what do I need to actually say in order to agree to watching an object, okay? If you look at the source sheet, I have three vignettes here, and I'd like to address three questions. So the first one is as follows, okay? Reuven is in the mall carrying a package and asks Shimon to wash his item while he stops to use the washroom. Shimon says, simply, put it down. While Shimon isn't looking, the package gets stolen. Okay, so the first question is, very simply, does saying put it down constitute an agreement to watch the object? What type of phrase do I need to say to agree to watch something for someone else? That's the first question, in a very simple case. Any thoughts before I go on about that one? Should that be liability? Should not be liable? Tom says yes. Okay, that's the first case.
I don't know who the host is, but just something that I started doing in Shiurim is whoever the host is should just unmute people when you ask a question, and then people could just speak.
That's sort of complicated. Okay.
I was going to say, I think it is, because would it not be for what Shimon said, Reuven wouldn't have left it with him.
Okay, so that's a good point. One point is to say that, look, he's leaving it with you. You're sort of saying a Garmi perspective, that, you know, he left it with you, and now you made susceptible to damage. Okay, that's an interesting point. So that's the first question. So the second question is, let's say it's not quite in a public place, but he's asking to leave it on your property. Okay, so the vignette too. While Reuven embarks on a trip, Shimon allows Reuven to keep his car in Shimon's driveway. Shimon leaves the car unlocked, and it gets stolen. So Shimon said, you can leave it on my property. But he didn't watch it appropriately. He was negligent. He left the car unlocked, and the car gets stolen. The question is, does giving permission to use one's property also constitute an agreement to watch the object while it's on your property? Or do we simply say, no, I just let you put it in my driveway? That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm also going to watch it. It's your problem. And then number three, the third thing we're going to discuss quickly, is before Shimon embarks from Toronto to New York, Reuven asks Shimon if he can bring along a package to a relative in New York. Shimon tells Reuven to put it in the truck. Shimon leaves the trunk open at a rest stop, and the package is stolen. So here, essentially, Shimon agreed to transport the item, but he didn't. He just said, okay, put it in the car. He's not saying go for it. You know, I'm going to watch it. He just says, I'll bring it for you. Does that constitute also liability? Okay, so first let's go through, we're going to go through the Gemara's, the sources on these, the basic sources on these questions, and then we'll get to the actual Psak Halacha. So look at Gemara number four. We've done it previously. I'm just going to sort of summarize it quickly. The Gemara here says that there is a certain formulation you need to have in order to be liable for an object. You need to say, Hanach lefanai, place it down in front of me. But Hanach lefanecha, if you say place it in front of you, meaning that's saying that I don't want to watch it. And the Gemara has a question about the word Hanach. What if you just say, you don't say Hanach lefanai, place it in front of me, which would indicate you are liable. You also don't say Hanach lefanecha, place it in front of you, which would mean I don't want to watch it. You just say put it down. Right? That's our vignette number one. Put the object down. Does that constitute an agreement? So the truth is the Gemara tries to bring a proof from another case, which is going to be important for us, and I'd like to study that one inside. So take a look at source number four. We're going to start from the words Lema ketanai. After the ellipsis there, it's the second line. Lema ketanai. Im hichnis berishas bal chotzer chayav. So the case here is, you allow someone to bring either property or an animal into your jurisdiction, into your chotzer. So the Tanakhama says here, as we'll see in source number 5, that once you give someone permission to bring something into your property, you are liable. Rebbe Omer Bekulam Eino Chayav Ayche Kabbalah Ba'Bayis Lishmor. Rebbe disagrees with the Tanakhama and says, no, even if I give permission for someone to bring something into my property, I'm still not liable unless I say explicitly, I am going to watch your object. Permission doesn't create liability. That seems to be Rebbe's position. And therefore, the Gemara says, Hanach Stam, saying put it down, is this same argument between Rebbe and the Chachamim. The Chachamim don't require an explicit agreement to watch the object. Implicit is sufficient. And Rebbe says, no, you're not obligated or liable unless you say, I am going to watch your object. And that's the argument. Now the Gemara has a way of saying, no, maybe this isn't the same thing. And let's just go through it quickly for a second. So, Mimai, how do you know this is a proof? Dilma, Akan lo kam Rabbanan Hasam al b'chatzer. Maybe the Rabbanan who generally think, in the case of Bava Kama, think that you're liable by simply allowing someone to bring something into your property. That's only when it's your chatzer. Debas naturehi, because that's a place which is protected. V'chi kamerle, Isle of Intela kamerle. Therefore, when he says, bring it into my property, he means bring it in and I'll watch it, because it's a place where you would guard something. Aval hacha shukala barnitirahu, I'll have attend the tarlacha kamerle. But here in our case, if you're not in a private property, if you're in the public property, okay, and this will relate to source number 1, where you're not in the private property, right? You're in the mall. So if you're in the shuk, if you're in a public property, that's not a place where people guard things. So Anach v'tim natar lecha kamerle. He's simply saying, I'll watch it for you. Anach v'tim natar lecha kamerle. Sorry about that. He's saying, put it down and you watch it. So that's the first dechia. Maybe you can distinguish between public and private property. Private property, you're accepting liability. Public, you're not. And then the Gemara says the flip side. Inami akam lo kami Rebbe Hasam al bechatzero de leuli reshusa kabbalah mishkal minei. And maybe the opposite. Maybe Rebbe, who thinks you need to explicitly accept liability, it's only in one's private property, because to even bring it there, he needs your permission. So you could argue, all you're saying is you can put it there. You're not saying, actually, that I'm going to watch it. I'm just giving you permission to leave it in my property. Avahacha hanach v'anam materna kamerle. In a case where we're talking about a public property, you don't need his permission to put it there. So when I ask, can I put it down? And the person responds, sure. He must mean, sure, you can put it down and I'll watch it for you, because he wasn't asking you for permission to simply put it in the street. You don't have the right to give or not give him that permission. So we have here two cases which we need to keep in mind. One is a case where you're simply asking someone to watch something for you in a public property, and he says, put it down. The other question is when someone asks permission to bring something into your property, you agree but don't explicitly agree to watch that object, okay? And the question is whether you are liable or not. And that's the question of vignette number 1 and number 2. In source number 5, I just brought you the actual source of this argument in Bava Kama, between Rebbe and the Chachamim. And that's the source of the first two vignettes. The third vignette, in terms of someone's house, is an important one, and that's the Gemara in source number 6. Here, we'll just skip to this sort of conclusion here. The Gemara talks about a case where someone says, to someone, there's someone walking in the street, it's right before Shabbos, and he says, can I put my things in your house? It's about to be Shabbos, and I want to carry them. Can I put my money in your house? The person says, ha besa kamach, my house is in front of you, go ahead, put them in my house. And that's what he does, he puts them in the house, and they get stolen. So they ask Rava, and Rava says, you look at the line number 6, the last line, Kol ha besa kamach lo mebaya shomer sachar de lohavi, ela afilu shomer chinam na me lohavi. When someone says, my house is yours, here it is, put it in my house, that doesn't constitute liability. Saying, my house is in front of you, is simply saying, you can put it there, but I'm not going to watch it. So these are the three Gemaras, which relate to these three vignettes. Let's see how they are actually Paskin. Okay, so if you look at, we're going to go to source number eight for a second, and this relates to the first vignette. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins that Hanach Lefanai does constitute liability, as the Gemara says. However, Hanach Lefanecha and Hanach Stam do not. And therefore, simply saying put it down does not make you liable. It's a doubt in the Gemara. We are mekil on the Shomer, you know, Suffolk Mamo and Lahakel. We're not going to make him liable since it is a doubt. Therefore, the Shomer is not liable unless he says, put it down in front of me. And that would be the answer to vignette number one. Again, it's simply saying put it down does not make you liable. However, so if you look at source number 10, the Sma says, wait a second, it's not so simple. Because the Gemara wasn't sure whether or not we should compare this case to the case in Bava Kamma. Says the Sma, I in Prisha, in source number 10, Shom kasati v'ochachti had hishvim yachad, hanu dafka behezik da'asile ma'ama, ava behezik da'asilu machma shomer ve'mosav, chayev omel hanastam. Says the Sma, maybe we can distinguish between damage which comes from an external source, if someone else damages the property, versus damage that comes from you. When you're watching the property, it's your fault. You did something to it. Even not directly, but indirectly. Say your kids weren't, damaged the object in someone's house or something like that. That might be different. So the truth is, I'm sorry, we're skipping around a bit here. But if you look at source number 7, the Torah points out that this is actually an argument. Rebbe, in the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, seems to suggest that it doesn't matter, that you're not liable even for the damage that comes from you when you say Hanach. You're saying, I'm not taking any responsibility for what happens to your object. I'm not liable. I'm sorry. You can't break it because that's damaging. But you're not responsible for something that just sort of happens. Whereas the Chachamim are the ones who hold that no, that you are responsible for damage that comes from you, and maybe even damage that comes from the outside. So the answer to vignette number one is going to depend on how we paskin in this regard. Do we paskin like Rebbe or the Chachamim, and it will which determines whether or not the damage, if you're liable for damage that you are responsible for, even though you just said put it down, if you do something that makes the object more likely to get damaged, so that you might be responsible for. Okay, so that's that. That's that question. If you look at source number 9, the Nesivo simply says that the Gemara talks about a case where you say something. You say put it down in front of me, and that's one case. The Nesivo says, what if you just say nothing? What if someone goes to you, they say, hey, would you wash this for me? You sit there silently, and then they put it down. What's the halacha in that case? Sivo says, even though we generally say shtika koda damia, that by just saying nothing, you're admitting to what's being said before you, we don't say that in this case, because in this case, it will only make you liable. We only say shtika koda damia when you have some benefit in admitting. And therefore, we will not apply shtika koda to this case. So that's the case of simply agreeing to watch someone's object. What about a case where I am, sorry for a second. I just want to get to, sorry, but I take a step back for a second. So that's vignette number one. What about vignette number two, when something is in your house and you agree to let someone store it in your house? So then again, the Shulchan Aruch in source number 8 paskins the Gemara, where we say, if you say Hare Habayis Lifanecha, if you say my house is yours, put it in there, that's not enough for liability. You're not even a Shomer Chinam, and you're not Chaya for that. So simply saying put it in my house does not create liability. You have to say, and I'll watch it. And the Mefarshim comments here, even if they're paying you to use your house, while they're away. They're paying you to quote unquote to let them to let you they're paying you to for the use of your house to guard the object in it. You're still not liable because we assume when you say ha beis hakamach, my house is yours, that means that you're just the payment is just to rent your house, but it's not to pay you for guarding the object. So for vignette number two, simply saying ha beis hakamach, my house is in front of you, does not create liability. Okay. But what about this third case where you're transporting an object? So this relates to the Tshuva Sarash in source number 11. I'll spare you the question. It's an interesting one. The question simply is, you have someone who is transporting an object for another person, and then somehow, just out of, a favor, what happens is, it gets lost. Originally the guy said, I wasn't poshea, he takes a Shuvah Shomrim, he swears, I did nothing wrong. Then, in the course of their discussion, it turns out that the person, while he was watching this object he was transporting, had to use the, washroom, or lack of a washroom, on the road. So, he takes a few seconds to himself, by the time he gets back, the object is gone. So the person says, that's pshia, that's negligence. You were transporting my object. You can't just leave it exposed like that. So you gotta pay me for it. And then he says, well, no, I never said that I was gonna watch it. I just said put it on the chamor. I just said I would transport it for you. I never said I would watch it. That's not my fault. It's your fault. It's your responsibility. It's your problem. So the Rush says that no. That's not the case. Says the Rush. Shuva. Ha damrin ha beis hakamash inu afiyo shom rechinam. That which we say, again, this is source number 11, that when you say, my house is in front of you, you're not even a free watchman. V'chena achlefanecha. Mi baile b'hanastam. Zeh b'veis hanifgad shu makom hamishtamer. We only say that you don't accept liability for these formulations when you're in the house of the person who owns, of the shomer. When you're in the shomer's house, that's when you don't accept liability. Of, or in a place where the object is guarded, a makum hamishtamer. Aval ruvin shenitzrata holech hachef etzimo, v'amr levi hanicham ha'achamor, pshita shekibel ha'shmira. Says the Rush, if I'm agreeing to transport something for you, I'm also agreeing to watch it. Because if I don't watch it, no one will. I'm on the middle of the road. It's going to be exposed. Clearly, I'm not going to just agree to transfer your object and then simply allow anybody to take it. No one's going to watch it except for me. It's exposed. Therefore, says the Rush, when you're transporting someone's object, then you do accept liability. However, the Darchei Moshe in source number 12 takes objection to this Rush. And he says, wait, the Rush says the words makum hamishtamer, which means you are only not accepting liability if you're in a guarded place. But wait a second, that seems like it's against the Gemara, right? The Gemara talks about a case when you're in the shuk, right? That's vignette number one, you're in the mall. And the Gemara still says you need to say hanach lefanecha. If you say hanach stam, you're still not liable. Why then does the Rush say makom hamishtamer? It's inaccurate. So the Bach in Torah 13 says, you're being a bit too particular in the Rush. Rush didn't mean that you only accept liability, or you only don't accept liability if you're in a guarded place. He was simply saying specifically in the case of the transport, when you're bringing it somewhere else and you're specifically not in a Mokom Mishamer by anyone via the Shomer or the owner, then you accept liability. However, even if you're in the Shuk, it's at least makum hamishtamer ayadei shomer. At least then, the shomer is there. So it's not, the place isn't a guarded place, but at least the shomer is there. And I saw people suggesting, even if the shomer is not going to watch it, the very fact that someone is standing by the object is somewhat of a, will preclude some, a robber from taking it. And says the Bach, the Darchei Moshe is question on the Rush, is not actually a question. However, so what do we do about the... Yeah.
Why can't you just say it's the difference between a public place and a private place? If it's the person's donkey and a marketplace.
You could. The problem is the Rush says makom hamishtamer. Makom hamishtamer means a guarded place.
To distinguish makom Jewish tamer within someone's private property.
I think the Rush sounds like he's, from the words of the Rush itself, I think I get the Ramah's point. From the words of the Rush itself, he says makom ha-mishtamer. It sounds like, generally, you wouldn't consider the shuk to be a makom ha-mishtamer. That's his problem. Meaning he's saying the shuk's not a makom ha-mishtamer, but you are liable, you're not liable on the shuk unless you say hanach lefanecha. If you look in source number 14, the Ramah therefore says, it seems like this question of the Rush is a matter of dispute. It's the second part of the number 14. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins the Rush that you're liable for transporting an object. However, the Ramah says Yesh Chulkin. There are those that argue, and it's based on his understanding that even b'makom she'enu mishtamer you need hanach lefanecha. However, if you look at source number 15, the Sma says that no. The Rush didn't mean it needs to be in a makom ha-mishtamer. He just simply meant it needs to be in a place where someone is there watching it. Whereas on the road, no one will be there watching it. Therefore, says the Sma, no one actually argues on this. And therefore, halakhically, if you're transporting someone's object, the Ramah's dispute aside, then you will be liable for watching the object if you're transporting it. However, there's another issue mentioned here, which is the last point we'll discuss, which is the question of kinyan, right? We talked about in the beginning of our discussion, the first two shiurim were all about, do you need to make an acquisition of someone's object in order to be liable for watching the object? So for certainly in source number one, that would be relevant. But say some of the farshim here, in source number three, in the case of transporting someone's object, it's also relevant. Because when they put it in your trunk, that's not an acquisition. You haven't acquired it. Therefore, or putting it on someone's donkey would not be an acquisition. Therefore, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger in source 16 is bothered. Why, according to those who hold, you need a kinyan, be'inon meshicha b'shomrim, why are you liable simply for transporting someone's object? So, to answer that, and Asivo says here something interesting. What he says is that that's true, you require meshicha b'shomrim, but that's when you're simply leaving the object where it is. Because then you're not doing anything to the object. They left it there. You're standing there watching it. You didn't do anything. In order to make you liable, you need to be a shomer. However, when you transport someone's object, you're in the car, you're bringing it somewhere, and then you put it in a position where it's now susceptible to being stolen or damaged, that's not just passive. You're doing something to it. That's considered active mazik. That's kimazik biadayim v'chayiv. Therefore, says Nesivos, even according to those shitos who generally require an acquisition to be a shomer, in the case where you're transporting the object, you don't need an acquisition because by transporting it, you're actively making it susceptible to damage, and that you are liable for even if you're not a shomer. And so you don't just need shomer, even as a mazik, you are chayiv. So simply, before I just turn over the floor to Torchiner, a quick summary. What we're saying is, in terms of liability, in order to be liable for simply having someone put an object in front of you, it does matter what the words you say. From the Gemara and the postgame, it seems you need to say hanach lefanecha, some sort of statement indicating that you will watch the object, keeping in mind the dispute as to whether or not there's a distinction between damage that comes from the person watching the object and external damage that comes from another source. That's in terms of vignette number one. In terms of vignette number two, embarking on a trip, we just quoted the Tshuva of the Rush, where he says that in the case where you're transporting someone's object, we do assume that you're accepting liability, and therefore you would be liable. We know that the Ramah disagrees based on the context of our Gemara and Bava Metzia. However, many Mefarshim dispute that disagreement, and they say the Rush wasn't talking about any case. He specifically is talking about a case of transporting the object. And you have the Nesios' point that transporting an object is considered active damage if you just leave it be, because you're actively making it susceptible to damage. And the third point, in terms of letting someone put something in your property, actually, I'm sorry, that was the number three. The number two, in terms of allowing someone to put something in your property, we say, simply saying, ha, beis ha-kamach, put your my house is yours does not constitute liability, you would still need to specifically say, not only can you use my house, but I'm also going to watch it for you. So that will leave the discussion here, and we'll turn over the floor to Rabbi Tortino.
Also your speaker. Like, use headphones to listen, or just listen this way.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I had to move rooms. I was in classroom 4, but the internet connection there is too bad. All right, so with